Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We like to have you hang out, not just with us on air, but we like to have us hang out with us offline, off air, on the intro.
What is happening?
I don't know. Everything's happening. Hang out with
we're
us
on the air,
other
we're
places.
Off the air,
yeah,
we're
you
online,
know.
We're offline.
Yeah, well, you know, we're that's everywhere. How it goes. On the internet and the intraweb on thevalleyoutdoors.com and where else?
Facebook.
You got it. Exactly.
We're there
right.
too.
Yeah. And just be aware, you can go into that black hole that is the internet on our website, too, because there's lots of cool stuff there. You will be truly amazed. It's live, it's real, and if it's not, you can keep the truck, as the saying goes. What was I going to talk about? I was just went brain dead.
Trail
oh,
camps?
I know what it was. It was the poaching. Poaching.
Oh, yeah, that one.
And I'm not talking about eggs, either. We're talking about an Indiana man who was arrested for poaching more than 30 deer during the 2025 season. I'm sorry, but as the story goes, state and local wildlife officers do their best to monitor and enforce game and fish laws, but inadequate resources and manpower can complicate the efforts. I mean, like in our area here, I think we've got one DNR enforcement person in the general area. There's a lot of area to cover and a lot of outdoors people on the river, so that makes it a challenge whether they're hunting or fishing. So these officers rely on anonymous tips from locals, which is what led to the arrest of this gentleman who's 28 years old from southern Indiana, has been charged with more than 100 wildlife-related crimes.
I was going to say, I bet that 30 is not
quite there, yeah. On the morning of December 18th, 2025, Clark County Sheriff's deputies and conservation officers set a roadblock up after a complaint there were shots fired. Snyder was stopped at the roadblock. That's a gentleman that was arrested. I didn't list his name before. He was arrested in a roadblock in a pickup where officers discovered multiple dead deer. Apparently decided to ditch the evidence before stopping at the roadblock because officers located several discarded guns along the roadway.
He was having a bad day.
At the scene, the passenger was immediately arrested and a vehicle was seized as evidence.
Yep.
It wasn't until June 4, 2026 that he was taken into custody after conservation officers executed multiple search warrants and collected extensive evidence. The investigation revealed that Snyder and currently unnamed accomplices had illegally taken more than 30 deer during the 2025 season. How about that? Depending on the county, bag limits for white-tailed deer in the Hoosier state of Indiana range from 2 to 4, well under the 30-plus deer that he had illegally shot. His current charges include obstruction of justice, illegal sale of wildlife, unlawful taking a deer, jacklighting, hunting without a license, hunting with the aid of a motor vehicle, and hunting without consent of a landowner.
Oh, good. Trespassing.
The That's book good. Seems to be headed his direction.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And it's not flying. It's coming in at rocket speed. If the charges stand, he may face serious restitution fees depending on the size deer he poached. It's hard to quite equate a dollar amount to that many deer missing from the local herd, but that won't stop the state of Indiana from trying. In some ways, the tip lines allow locals to help reclaim some of those damages. That's such a big deal. You know, it came from a tip line, and you can't necessarily know everybody or know what's going on at all times, and that's about the only way to do it. So tip is it's a solid way to go about it.
It is.
You know,
good resource.
There's no question about that. And I think something we really need to make sure people are aware. If you see something funky, how's that go? If
what
you see something,
say
something.
Something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just find that that's kind of absurd, to be honest. I don't know how you can get away with doing that for so long in 30 deer. Yikes. Anyway, must have a big freezer.
That he was caught with, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. He must have a big freezer, I think. Or he's just giving them all away. Or
just
selling them.
He just
I think
doesn't
he got
care.
Caught for selling them. So.
Good. That's good stuff.
He wasn't giving away beef sticks, right?
No.
No.
I'm almost out of the cheddar ones now.
Well, I've been out of them since the day after. So.
I know, but I got a big old bag of them, and they're almost
I don't. Last week, we didn't quite wrap up a story that was talking about technology and will it ruin deer hunting in the future. And we left it off when I was talking about the some states were implementing trail cameras. Montana has implemented usage restrictions. Arizona's banned it. Utah and Nevada have also put restrictions on it. Kansas banned them on public land. And more recently, state of Idaho prohibits hunters from using night vision optics, drones, thermal imaging, cell cameras throughout the fall hunting seasons. And really, there's quite a bit that is changing things. And again, it comes to technology. We talked about that before. Mm-hmm. What point is technology too much? And trail cams used to be huge units. You know, they were like a box. They were like a foot by foot. They were not maybe that big, but 8 inches by 8 inches.
Yeah.
And now they're
tiny little cameras.
They're much smaller, and they're much easier to run. They're on basically solar. You can run them on solar. You don't have to have them there. And oftentimes you had to go to the actual unit, grab the chip, and put it into your whatever reader you would have and download it on your computer. And of course, now you can transfer it through your phone. You get an alert if there's a deer walking by. So I mean, it's taken it to a whole different level. And there's this particular story. It goes, one of the people was attending the ATA show, and one of the reps for the company told him that the he could find turkey in the spring when others were not by using a trail camera. You can say, okay, well, part of the struggle with this is, where are these turkey at? How can I find them? How many of these trail cams do I have to put up to figure out where they're at? Now is the point where you can see the backlash, because you're getting maybe a 100% or very high percentage of people that are able to find out where the turkey are because they're monitoring their every movement. And the question becomes, now that we've done this, can you put the genie back in the bottle?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question. So the debate around technology in the deer space revolves around fair chase. While codified into law in certain ways, a fair chase is a moving target. In Kansas, where cameras were banned on public land, hunters can still use cell cameras on private land over a pile of corn or on a feeder. It's hard to argue fair chase in that case, but when it applies to folks who don't have a lease, own land, or are lucky enough to have permission on private ground, it's just not. Cell camera enthusiasts are catching all the strays these days. Drones are a big topic as well, and the general price comes down. It's pretty cheap to get a drone nowadays, and the usage is going up. Most likely the technology and the drones can prove to be a huge asset. And as we've heard in Michigan, the unfortunate part is, I think, using drones in a positive way to find a wounded deer and using the infrared would be my thing, because they had actually companies that you could hire that mm-hmm. would go out and track deer. And now they've eliminated that. You can't do that either. Next-gen surveillance tool, which is what that is. The problem you have is there's a lot of people that will use it in a nefarious way, should I put it that way? Or, quote-unquote, a bad actor would be another one. Not a good thing, but the big question is, with the current and future technologies, where does it end? What do you think about that?
I don't know. It is hard when you have the technology to really hone in on it, but I think hunting as well as fishing, you know, there should still be a chance involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's called fishing, not catching. It's called hunting, not killing. So it's one of those things.
Well, and that's part of it. And now it's changed. It is no longer that, in my opinion, it's no longer that way. A hunter who is going out, he considers the pursuit as challenging, while is working as hard as possible to remove the challenges to make a more successful hunt, right? Hunter who grows deer and babysits them until they make the hit list, it will tell you that the real challenging piece of it is targeting only mature bucks, which glosses over the reality of creating the ideal food sources. And The monitoring with cell cameras and hunting style often involves hiding in a comfortable elevated box blind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can be all comfy. Well, you're in a comfortable box blind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Diehard hunters will use Onyx religiously. I've just got that on my phone, and it's very cool. And if you're not familiar with it, take a look at it. It's an app you can get, and it helps with, realistically, it really helps with finding out where borders are. So you know if you yeah. are on a border, if you're like,
where am I really at?
Right. Exactly. So be safe, being proactive rather than stepping onto somebody else's property without knowing and getting into trouble. There's a lot of things that'll help this time of year. They talk about when you're prepping and going into the woods, you've got protection from ticks. You've got various pieces and parts that high-tech clothing that help protect you. You've got high-tech clothing that helps camouflage you. You've got scents. In some areas, you can't use it because of CWD. All these different things that provide you an edge, and we consider that part of the modern deer hunting that we know and love. So at what point do we go too far? And has the that thought process, is it generally measured by technology, and is the impact on the resource? What is the impact when you go to the extent or that point where you know where the deer are at every turn? And if something comes out that increases the harvest, it could be very easily a possibility that non-hunting public opinion would turn against the hunter, and it's probably worth debate on this particular, the author of this particular story. Drawing your own lines in the sand is one way to do that. You can have your kids involved.
What's morally good for you?
Yeah, and some people want to, you know, they get them introduced to shooting a crossbow, which is close to a vertical bow. We've talked about a traditional bow. And some people don't want to hunt with it, but they have no problem. He is taking his daughters out to hunt with it. And they think it's fun. It's a unique piece and way to work it. But again, I have to agree. There's a point where you have to draw a line in the sand at certain points for your own personal use. And do you want to have it more early season? Well, I'm going to go without knowing all this and set up my own structure and do this or that my own way. Or am I going to say, let's take technology to the nth degree? And that's one of the challenges that comes up. And Lake of the Woods, I had an opportunity to use forward-facing sonar, and the conditions were such that I said, you know what, I'm not going to bother. It's just, it's not right for it. It would tell me, you know, where the fish are at, and are they down, you know, whatever. But it's just, at that point, not something that we're going to be sniping for fish, meaning you're staying on a fish or two and looking for it. It's a fishing and hunting is a, it really is about the experience as a whole. It's about the experience of going fishing with a group of people or a couple people and enjoying time in the water. Hunting is the same thing. It always has been. And it is about getting together with friends and experiencing the outdoors. Not that success isn't a good thing. I'm not saying that. But when it comes down to it, and if something is going to be impacting in a way that will cause us to have negative impact on the resource, that's where we have to really look at it. And it's
right.
I keep bringing it up. It's happened on Mille Lacs with the perch. Mille Lacs can be susceptible to that, and perch specifically, because they will school up. Crappies are the next thing. Same concept, same exact thing. And I think that's one of those things we have to look at it each individually and see, is that right for you? Because at this point, there's no regulations that are going to prevent technology. But the question at this point is, at what point will regulations be changed because of technology? And I think the hunting...
I think it's coming soon.
Well, I think the hunting side of it can be more restricted. You can just say, well, no, you're not allowed to have this camera on these lands. And public land, obviously, is a big one. You're not allowed to have it.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
I think if you have something like that on public land, you're not going to want to leave a camera on public land.
No,
because it's going to be bye-bye
that
in a heartbeat. Yeah, exactly.
Two seconds.
But yeah, that's one of those challenges that I think we have to each ask of ourselves, at what direction and at what point do we say enough is enough, right?
Yep.
So let's jump into something that's kind of, in my opinion, is a story that is needing to be brought out, I think. Not in my recent memory have we had an outlook that is optimistic for Minnesota's 2026 pheasant hatch. The past few weeks, pheasant chicks have started to show up more across pheasant country in Minnesota. Hens trying to steer their broods away from danger and into adulthood. Obviously, it's a big situation. It's challenging with the predatory world which we live in the outdoors, and not a lot of regulations on the predators. State wildlife officials, the survival of those tiny birds over the next several weeks directly will affect hunting this fall. 70% of annual hunter harvest each year comes from young of the year roosters. And make no mistakes, it's a dangerous world for newly hatched pheasant chicks. They hit the ground weighing next to nothing, 18 grams with downy feathers, very little muscle.
18 grams.
Yep. And they are in search of their first meal, and unfortunately, somebody else would be trying to make them their first meal as well, and confronting and trying to deal with their mother trying to take the hens, trying to keep them warm at the same time. It is a marathon when it comes to trying to get them to older age. Predators from fox to raptors and feral cats. Cold weather, also wet weather, can be a kiss of death. Potentially lethal thunderstorms with hail can end everything in a quick heartbeat. So they're against a lot. And the good news is, one of the gentlemen that part of the article, I've been out and I've seen broods in the landscape for probably the last 2 weeks, which is a good sign. He said good reports from hunters and conservations across the southern Minnesota area said spring conditions have been about as good as you can hope for, which is pretty cool. So lots of positivity there, guys. Looking forward to that. And get out in the outdoors. Enjoy it this weekend. It's going to be almost perfect.
Before it gets hot.
All across the Midwest. Enjoy it. Have fun. And thanks for listening to us. As always, we are the Valley Outdoors. I'm Eric. For Ava and myself, we are out. Have fun in the outdoors. See you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.